Listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
It's a scheduled day off for the New Orleans Saints. It's a good thing for you hoodouts out there. It is storming. A little rain in and around the area. Going to be like that most of the day, so be careful out there. Got plenty to get into. Shockingly, we'll probably talk more about Tre'Quan Smith.
Yeah, I'm not afraid, you know, of expectation. If they held high, you know I'm a competitor, like I said earlier. And just being a competitor, you want things to be hard. You don't want nothing to come easy. You want things to be hard as a competitor because you know when you're competing, that's when you're at your best.
Plus, we'll touch on the NFL Network's visit with the Saints yesterday. Cam Jordan, Michael Thomas, Drew Brees all had sit-downs and some very interesting tidbits from all three.
Last year was probably the first time where I really said, all right, play it like it's your last.
Whoa, we'll talk a little bit about that interview with LaDainian Tomlinson and Drew Brees. Hello and good afternoon to you. It's Gus Kattengill. Jordan the intern back with us today. How are you? Got your school stuff getting ready to go for the fall semester. Nice for you to show up in your Do It Big Pelicans t-shirt today. Going to have a lot of fun today. 800-998-1003. Going to do an NFC South recap as well. Kind of see what's up with the Falcons, the Panthers, and the Buccaneers. Because, of course, this time of the year, everyone's excited about their team. Everyone's got a shot. Everyone's feeling good. My problem is I'm almost feeling today, Jordan, we always have questions of the day and things that we post on Twitter and Facebook. I'm still looking for, and now that you're here, we can have a little more fun with it. I want a name for not the secondary because, what, they call themselves a goon squad or something like that.
I was thinking of this yesterday, like that. And I couldn't come up with anything.
Right, well, they gave themselves sort of a name as a group. I get that. I'm talking about, like, something flashy or a hashtag that we could maybe tweet or post during the season in the game when there's a pass breakup. I have PBU City.
Ooh.
Right? I mean, that's, to me, it's just easy. It's pass breakup city. Everyone's in on it. I like it. So that's kind of what I had. We had some really good descriptions out there as well. Plus, also, as we have a day off today. We asked it yesterday. Jordan, go ahead and retweet that and put it out there. If you've attended any of the open practices, what are some of the things that have stood out to you in being able to view it with your own eyes? That's something that I'd love to get your takes on as well. As I said yesterday, I put my five out there. Tre'Quan Smith, the defense, just in, it's good. Peyton, not happy, and I love it because he's coaching them up, trying to keep them focused. And what I mean by that is, Jordan, as you know, when Sean Payton was short on Saturday and Sunday, he wasn't happy the fact that the offense was kind of maybe taken advantage of a bit, right?
Yeah,
they weren't winning.
Yeah, apparently I missed a good practice with, what was it, four interceptions?
Four interceptions yesterday. Yeah. Three by the linebackers. So, again, it's balancing that act, right, of seeing success and at the same time not as well. Josh, I see your call and get to you in about 30 seconds here. Punt returners, that was the bachelor comment that he gave yesterday, right, or 2 days ago, saying, hey, look, you know, it's like the bachelor. We got 12 roses out there. We don't know who the punt returner is. I like that. You know why? It's like what I said this morning on a radio show up in North Louisiana. I said, hey, I love it because there's two ways to avoid falling into the expectation, you know, heck hole, if you know what I'm talking about, and believing the hype. A, competition. When you're competing for snaps and you're competing to even make the roster, you ain't got time to worry about how good you think you are, what people are telling you, right? B, I love the fact that the coaches are coaching like this team won three games last year. At 12:30, Josh Kassetstein of the Times-Picayune and NOLA.com is going to join us. He wrote about it today. It's something we've loved to talk about it. It's something that I thought set the tone and stood out yesterday or last season. Aaron Glenn, the defensive backs coach, versus Curtis Johnson, the wide receivers coach. DBs versus wideout. It's fun. It's fun to watch. obviously for the fans that are there at practice, but the other thing that's fun to watch is too is how competitive those coaches are. Sean Payton's been asked about it. He's like, hell, that's their job. It's their coaches. Again, I love how Sean's been short so far because, as I'm saying, not only the position coaches, but the head coach as well, right? He understands how close these games are going to be. He understands every yard matters. It's what I said this morning. Every yard is going to matter. The position, the field position battle is going to be important. When you're in games that could be decided by 5 points, 3 points or less, you don't think it might be big to start outside the 20? Starting inside the 20 or inside the 10, the playbook's a little different, right? You start at the 25 or beyond, it's a little more different. If you can get a return out to the 35, 40, now you're thinking points, right? That's how big that return is. And remember this year, rules are different. The lines have to be static on the kickoffs. There's no 10-yard head start for the team that's kicking. You can't go back 10 yards, turn around, and make contact. Everyone runs together. So we're all going to learn next Thursday what that's going to look like and how it's going to go. It's going to be different. But I love it. Yesterday, message sent. A couple days ago, message sent to Sheldon Rankins, right? Having a little bit better go at it by not playing with the ones. Well, Austin Carr now thrown in to the group of punt returners. Kamara, Ginn, Lewis, and Scott. Message sent to those four guys. Again, you know how I feel about Alvin. Unless you're down in the game, Alvin Kamara better not be returning kicks. Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm saying? But I think it's a good shot for Austin Scott, Lewis as well, to make the team, and Austin Carr in a very deep receiving core. So 800-998-1003. Traquan Smith, defense good. Peyton not happy. The punt returners. Those are kind of the four things that really stood out to me. And five, just it's... The fifth thing that stood out so far is I'm thirsty.
For what?
Kool-Aid.
What kind?
Purple? I'm finding it hard to not get excited. That's my problem. But the fifth thing that's standing out through 5 days and five practice is me. I'm having to temper my expectation level. I'm having to relax a bit.
You're kind of getting giddy whenever
I am. That's what I'm saying. I am. So I'm number five. Josh, thanks for calling the Sports Hangover. What you got, man, today?
Thanks for taking my call, Gus. It is pouring so bad right now. It's unbelievable.
Where you at?
I was driving, and I heard you say your thing about a moniker or like a hashtag for the secondary. I was thinking the second scary, because they're looking really good this year. Maybe not in But I think around Halloween, I think that'd be a nice little hashtag, same second scary. But with Bell, with Marcus Williams, with Crawley, with Lattimore being youthful, then we have the older safety and Coleman and Robinson coming in. I'm very excited about this defensive unit. And I know we talk about the offense every year, and it's kind of, it's a mute point now just with Drew being so amazing. But I think our defense going to be unbelievable. I see a lot of turnovers this year. So anyway, who that baby, and love the show, fellas.
There he is. Thank you, Josh. Appreciate the phone call. Second scary. I like that. Jordan, keep a list. Second scary is one as well. I know yesterday, Music Soul Child on Twitter at GCAT_17 hashtag no fly zone. How about that? I saw that a couple of times yesterday. No fly zone is another one as well. Look, I love this. Because I just think it's interesting to sort of see where they go. And to Josh's point, there's depth there. It's not just, and Jordan, you've been there. I mean, you've been there with the practices with me all the time. It's not just Patrick Robinson, Marshawn Lattimore, Ken Crawley. It's Devontae Harris. It's PJ Williams. It's Arthur Millett.
Yeah, to your point yesterday, like whenever some of the rookies are getting beat, they get a hand in there at the very last second to break up that pass.
That's my key. That's what I want to talk to Josh about, too, is if he's noticed that. Again, it's just some of the things that I've noticed. They might get beat on the route.
Right.
But I'm seeing closing speed, which tells me there's athleticism in our secondary. Right. And don't give up on the play. You can still finish at the very end. And I'm talking after the reception's made. Right? You gotta complete the catch. I'm seeing receivers, tight ends, running backs, whatever, catch the ball, and the contact's made, boop, there goes the ball. They're doing a great job of that. And what excites me about it is that this is still a good offense. It's a good offense, isn't it? And you got, I think, one of the best receiving cores in the Peyton era, potentially. Potentially. I understand fully against, I go back to point number five, my enthusiasm. Which, by the way, I've already said it. I mean, fine. I'm not chugging the Kool-Aid, right?
Just don't talk about Traquan Smith to where he gets hurt.
Stop that. See, that's not...
We saw a lot of players go down yesterday.
Well, I mean, it's the bump and bruises. Trust me, today's off day could not have come at a better time for the Saints. The bumps and bruises, especially on that O-line. And we don't even see Davenport walk off.
Right.
Yeah, you know what? Tomorrow will be interesting to see who's back and who's not, because that it's starting to get to that point. Anyway, so it's something that's just kind of remember and kind of, you know, keep tabs on, the enthusiasm. But, you know, if you'd like to offer me a small glass, you know, like the glass that you would probably get when you order a cocktail. You know, the small ones. It's not like a 16-ounce or 12-ounce. It's a cocktail glass.
I'll bring a jug tomorrow, actually.
No, I'm not ready for the jug just yet. Let's get through the preseason, and let me see how healthy this
team is.
You're
either all in or you're not with
them. No, I didn't say I'm not all in. After I'm parched, I'll take absolutely some black cherry Kool-Aid.
Oof.
I already told you that. I'm black cherry. If you would like to partake in some Kool-Aid drinking as well, feel free to tweet at us at GCAT_17 or at ESPN Radio Nola what flavor you would like. Jordan, the intern, I'll send you over there across the street to the mall over there. I think Target has some Kool-Aid.
I'm not walking in this rain.
Well, no, you'll drive over there. But I'm saying is, you know, you can get us a couple of flavors of Kool-Aid. There's some flavors out there. I asked you, what's your favorite Kool-Aid flavor?
Probably cherry.
Cherry?
It's been a while since I've had Kool-Aid. Gotta go black cherry.
Anyway, again, if you'd like to partake, feel free to let us know what kind of Kool-Aid flavor is your favorite to go with. If you're drinking it already, I don't know if you're drinking it already or not, but I'm looking forward to it. Again, I have, you know, PBU City, if you want to use the hashtag during the season, but let's have fun with it. And as the season continues and you see a pass breakup, you know, just hashtag.
Actually, let's do that today. Let's start nicknaming every position.
What do you mean every position?
So like the wide receiver group, what's their nickname?
Oh, boy. I hadn't even thought about
and
that.
And actually, Houdat fans, we need to come up with a name for Traquan Smith.
Well, we got to get him some music, you know. We used to do this back in the day when the show, about 4 years ago, Pepito had a sounder for each player, or at least the star players. There were some pretty good ones. I don't know what Traquan is just yet, you know. I mean, like Brandon Cooks, we had Flash, you know, something. Actually, we had the sounder for... Like Speedy Gonzalez, you know, when he ran, like the cartoon running really fast. That was Brandon Cooks. I don't have anything for Michael Thomas. I guess just as I got an X-Men.
Can't guard Mike.
No. I'm talking about a sounder. We have a sounder for players where we're talking about them, then we would play it. Maybe that's our homework this weekend.
We'll find some.
Sounders for them. Anyway, we'll take a quick break. When we come back. I'm going to start playing some of the sound from the NFL Network that I thought was interesting. We'll start with Drew Brees. He sat down with LaDainian Tomlinson. Or they were standing up in the indoor facility after practice yesterday. And the reason I'm doing this is because I could just cut up the bites of them talking, and it's still good. But I kind of want to give y'all the perspective of the national folks, right? I mean, they're doing their training camp tour, so they're going to every city. And I just thought it'd be interesting for y'all to hear what they feel about the Saints and how the Saints players maybe talk to them knowing they're on national television. This is a national interview as opposed to when they speak to us, right? Maybe are they more guarded and reserved with us? Or are they a little more outgoing with them? I don't know. I thought it was interesting, but I think you're going to like what you hear from Michael Thomas. Cam Jordan's always fun. And Drew Brees, it was interesting because remember LT and he were teammates. So you can kind of definitely hear that friendship as they talk. So we'll start with him. We'll get into some others. Coming up at 12:30, it's Josh Kazenstein. Sometime between 1 and 2, or maybe around 2, Sharif Aishak's going to join us from Channel 6 and give his takes as well. There's a flag football media game going on with Tulane right now to open up their fall camp to celebrate that. Jordan, I would have done it, but it literally started like a half hour ago. We wouldn't have been able to do the show.
I'm so disappointed in you.
Well, you would have blown your knee out or something.
I could have.
Hour number one, don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. ring the king. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the king, 504-909-KING. It's the King Injury Firm. Go check them out online, kinginjuryfirm.com. Don't forget, they specialize in personal injury, maritime, offshore, mass tort, workers' comp, the works. Feel free to go get that free consultation call and see if they can help you. We'll be back. You're listening to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. You know, it's crazy going over some of the old Sounders. Dust Cat and Go Sports Hangover back with you here. Joey, Kenny Vaccaro. Still waiting to be employed. He had such a promising start. Remember, he just popped people. Remember the late hit to Noodle Arm, Matt Ryan? Something they talked about a year later. Remember Mike Smith saying, don't disrespect us and all that from that way. Here's what his Sounder was back in the day, which is crazy because now, again, you know, he's trying to play.
What's your prediction for the fight then?
Prediction?
Yes, prediction.
Pain.
Do you know what that's from, Jordan? You don't know.
Give him a hit.
Mm-hmm.
Yo.
Rocky. Mr. T.
Oh, wait. Is that really from that?
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've seen that, Rocky.
Clubber Lang. But, yeah. Because he did. He would pop people. So, yeah. Thought you'd give him, you'd pop him. Anyway. All right. So, yesterday, the NFL Network paid a visit and they had a sit down with Drew Brees, and I thought it was interesting to sort of hear the interview with LaDainian Tomlinson, right? Again, I could have cut the bites and just played what Drew had to say, but I thought you'd want to hear the report back and forth between the two. Remember, they were teammates, they're friends, they know each other obviously very well, and it gives you a sense of how that interview sort of goes. I think a lot of the skill of getting good answers from players or just getting them to kind of open up is just kind of feeling that out, right? So a lot of times, bites, yes, it's great, and we're going to do that a lot. Obviously, we're going to hear from Tre'Quan Smith, DeMario Davis, who I think you're going to love, especially because if you've missed good linebacking play in the past, how about this from your linebacker?
Linebacker. See ball, get ball.
See ball, get ball. Right? Yeah. Isn't that what you want? That's I'm good. I'm telling you, I think Saints fans are going to love the linebacking core this year. Anyway, so the NFL Network paying the Saints a visit. Yesterday was their day to visit New Orleans. So they had Sean Payton and a couple of players. No, they did not have snowballs yesterday. They had it 2 days ago.
Yeah.
That's when ESPN was paying a visit to the network, to here. You know, remember Deanna Rossini getting a pass thrown from Drew Brees?
I wasn't there.
Well, you missed the snowballs too. Drew Brees with LT on the NFL Network.
Drew, what is this? I mean, 19 training camp, I think?
18.
Okay, 18. I'm selling you short a little
bit. We remember the first one, though, don't we?
Oh, we do remember the first one. We were just talking about that.
Yeah.
But I got to imagine after 18 years, Drew, what still drives you? What makes you come out here and compete at a high level with these young guys?
I still love the game. I love playing the game. I love the locker room. I love being around the guys. You know, there's definitely that generational gap, you know, now that I'm, you know, 39, going on 40 years old, got a family. A lot of these guys come in 22, 23, 24 years old. You know, there's a big generational gap. But at the same time, man, it's fun. Like, we enjoy being around each other. I think our organization's done a great job of going out and getting guys that high character guys that love football, love being around one another. And listen, we work hard here, but we also have fun. And I think that's what I look forward to each and every offseason. Obviously, the challenges of a new season, the goals that we've set for ourselves, I feel like we can be a really good team if we continue to progress the way that we are. But it's those challenges that drive me and motivate me, and it's also the opportunity to be around these guys and, you know, that family element that's brought to the locker room.
Do you think that's what it is that guys like Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara can still relate to you? You know, they still relate to you. I was talking to both of them about, man, what is it about Drew? They said, man, he just sets the example right away. You know, he knows what he wants. So what do you think it is that has allowed you to still relate to these young guys?
Well, because we have the same goal in mind. You know, I want to see them accomplish every individual goal they have for themselves, for their career. You know, Mike Thomas approaches every day like it's a Super Bowl. He wants to be the best receiver he can be.
Because you know that's what it's about when they're young.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. They aspire. They're looking at guys like you, right, in the career that you had. And they're looking around the league. I mean, they want to be the best of the best. And I want to help them get to that level. So whatever I can do to help them, and at the same time I understand how them having those goals and aspirations and them fulfilling those is also good for our team, right? That allows our team to go to a level that maybe we never thought possible.
Your defense has taking tremendous strides. They're really becoming one of the better defenses in the league. So when you practice against those guys, how do they challenge your offense? I saw it today.
Yeah, yeah.
You guys had a good practice in the rain.
Yeah. I think the best teams that we've had here were ones where that competition started very early on in OTAs, training camp, that kind of thing. And listen, it takes a certain type of personality on defense, right? And guys that are pushing one another. We got great leaders on that side of the ball, man. Great locker room guys and also highly productive, good players. So combine that with an offense that's used to having a lot of success but constantly evolving, you know, things that we're working on. But man, for the next 3 weeks, I'm trying to beat our defense, right? Like, I'm coming every day trying to make them look bad, right? And on the flip side, they're saying, hey, what can we do to stop, you know, our offense? And so I feel like we're challenging them, and they're certainly challenging us. At the end of the day, it's iron sharpens iron. And you go into the season then feeling like, man, there's nobody that we're going to face that's going to be as good as the defense that we've been practicing against for the last, you know, month.
I love your backfield, man. You know, Mark Ingram has been a stud for years. But you got another young stud, Alvin Kamara. What do you see in this young kid? I mean, does he remind you of anyone that you've been around? And how special can he be?
Well, you set the standard, bro. They don't make him like you anymore.
I appreciate it.
But Alvin has some unique traits. First of all, he's a highly intelligent guy. You know, so you tell him something once, where he sees it once or runs the route one time, and it's there. You know, it's kind of logged away. He's got it. So just that ability to communicate in that way, and as things are happening real fast during the course of the year, last year there'd be times where, you know, I just reach over and whisper something to him real quick, and boom, he comes out, and we get that matchup or whatever it is, and he knows I'm coming to him, and here's where I'm throwing it, and, you know, it would just happen. And so it's just that trust and that confidence with each other, and it just takes time, you know, but it came very quickly, you know, with us. But he's just got some traits that, you know, rarely do you find a guy who's just who has all the elements of being an all-purpose running back. Yeah. He can run the ball inside. He can run it outside. He can catch the ball in the backfield and catch the ball down the field. You can split him out and treat him like a receiver. So that versatility is really hard to find.
Just a couple more questions now. I know you're a guy that loves to throw to your tight end. Yeah. You got the old man back in Benjamin Watson.
My guy.
What can you expect out of the tight end position?
Yeah. Well, Ben was here, obviously, with Jimmy, so in kind of a different role, and then he was our feature guy the year after Jimmy left, and then he goes away for 2 years, and now he's back, and I couldn't be happier. Not a guy who I respect more, who I love playing with more than Ben. Obviously, he's been around a long time, 15 years in the league. Amazing that he's still doing it the way he's doing it. But I think the compliment with him, with Josh Hill, with Hooman, all these guys bring a different element to it. We can plug and play. We can do a lot of things. When you can put two and three tight ends on the field, there's that threat of the power run game, and then there's that ability to spread them out and throw the ball. And so it just gives you a bunch of versatility offensively that I think gives defenses a lot to worry about.
So, you know, here we are, as you said, your 18th season. And, you know, I can't help but to think, if you win another Super Bowl this year, is that it? Do you ride off into the sunset? Have you even thought about that?
I do have a plan in my mind for how long I'm going to play.
I know you do.
But last year was probably the first time where I really said, all right, play it like it's your last. I mean, truly play it like it's your last. I think for a long time, you're playing and you're just thinking it's going to last forever, right? And at some point, you got to realize, okay, I'm more towards the end of my career than I am at the beginning. But last year, I really made the point to just enjoy every moment, right? Like, enjoy the locker room a little bit more, enjoy the plane rides home a little bit more, you know, because those are the things you miss, right, when it's all said and done.
I can tell you that.
Yeah.
Miss that.
Right.
That's true.
Right, I hear it from guys like you, you know? So, try to learn that and then take it to heart. And I probably had more fun playing football last year than I had playing in a long time. And obviously the success had a lot to do with it, but it was just enjoying those moments. And so I don't want to take it for granted, you know. I want to play it like it's my last, even though I don't think it is. and just enjoy every moment.
Future Hall of Famer, Drew Brees, Hall of Famer, LT, back to you.
It's interesting to hear Drew say, you got to play it like it's your last. And last year, he was kind of thinking that way. You can't not, right? You know 40's coming. And you have to imagine what it must have been like for him to see a couple of 7-9 seasons. And let's be honest, that's why, again, number five on the things that stood out to me so far through 5 days and five practices is tempering my expectation level. Dude, you have to be giddy. If I'm giddy, imagine him. Because in 2 years' time, this franchise, not just the team, this franchise has received a jolt of rejuvenation, haven't they? I mean, heading into that third 7-9 season and out of that 7-9 season for the third straight year, we all were like, well, there's always the Pelicans, right? I mean, seriously, we were like, well, the Pelicans and LSU was doing, I mean, it seemed like we were in trouble.
You could see it through just the amount of people that came out at training camp the first couple of days.
Well, yeah.
Between last year and this year.
You can just feel it.
But and what was it? One guy that we're about to play next segment.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "There's more people here than there are at a Pelicans game."
Yeah, well, I mean that's not accurate. There's
no it wasn't accurate, but you know,
don't be hating on the Pels. You're wearing a Pels shirt.
I love the Pels.
You're wearing anyway. But it was interesting, kind of hear Drew kind of touch on there. And again, it's just understanding and knowing all the different young players that he has. He sees it and. You heard it when LT asked and talked about the defense. He's never had. Look, in 2009, they were just the middle of the pack defense. It's funny. Sometimes fans kind of maybe have that misconception and remember that, man, that was a great defense. That was so good. Opportunistic. They were opportunistic. They started out the season getting a bunch of turnovers, giving that high-powered offense extra possessions, and that's why they were smoking people in the first and second quarter. It was 17-21, nothing at the end of one. And then the defense just had to hold them. But I don't think they were very talented. Does that make sense? Like, I'm talking per player, per square inch, this defense has more higher draft picks, more talent, more athleticism than they did in 09. I honestly believe that. Linebacking core, D-line, you could maybe make that case and argument. I think for sure in the secondary. That defense was not going to be top five. It wasn't. It was a middle of the pack D. Now there were top five, if not number one, in turnovers. This Saints defense has an opportunity to be top five, if not, you know, you heard Marshawn Lattimore. They want to be the best defense in the league. 09's D wasn't that, they didn't have that capability. I think that's why Drew's giddy. He legitimately has a defense he thinks I can, you know, he didn't have to score 45 points to try to be in the game. Imagine what it's like waking up every game day knowing, I mean, I have to throw for 400 yards. I mean, we have to score 30-plus points. If not, we're not in the game. Don't think that's the case this year. 800-998-1003, looking for a couple of suggestions to the defensive backs when they get a pass breakup. PBU City is what I got. Jordan, you want a nickname for the receiving corps already.
I want a nickname for everybody.
Yeah, for everybody.
Every position.
Okay, all right, settled now. One position at a time. We got some time. Let's take the break. We come back. Josh Kazetstein of the TopSpeakYouKnowIt.com. He wrote about something that it's so much fun to watch at practice. The wide receivers versus the defensive backs. Their position coaches in particular. That's up on NOLA.com. We'll talk with Josh next. Don't forget Hour 1 brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King. 504-909-KING, and check them out online at kinginjuryfirm.com. We'll be back on ESPN New Orleans.
That's a big upside on my part. You know, my quarterback running up to me, you know, he's hyped, I'm hyped. That feels great.
That is Traquan Smith on Drew Brees running down there on Sunday to pick him up and congratulate him after making yet another play. But yes, Curtis Johnson and Aaron Glenn, wide receivers coach versus defensive backs coach. Their players mimic really what they're pushing and wanting to get accomplished. Let's chat a little bit about that with the Times-Picayune and NOLA.com's Josh Kazetstein, who joins us a little bit here at J Kazetstein. Is it Kazetstein or Kazetstein? I should probably know that, huh?
It's Kazetstein.
That's what I thought.
I would normally tell you when you're wrong, yeah.
Okay, well, that's good. Thank you, Josh, because Joey's like, is it Stein or Stein? I'm like, oh, no. Now you gave me doubt. We'll just call you Josh. Josh, man, thanks for joining us this afternoon. It is fun, though, isn't it, when you watch the position battles, wide receiver versus DB? But before we get to your piece and really what you wrote this year, it started last year.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was something I noticed, and I wrote a little bit about it at the time last year. Because in one practice, we saw that, you know, the wide receivers, every time they caught a ball in the one-on-ones, they would, you know, run to the end zone and spike the ball. And then the next day in practice, Aaron Glenn, the defensive backs coach, was telling his guys as soon as they made a breakup on a one-on-one drill to get the ball and to spike it. So all of a sudden we saw, you know, that it was just super competitive, you know, back and forth between both the position groups. And the coaches, who are both, you know, very loud and in your face, you know, were the ones really pushing the whole thing. And it's continued on this year, and, you know, it's just, we see it every day.
No doubt. And I think it was setting the tone, right, for that defensive backfield. And we'll start on that side of the ball and then kind of see what Curtis can do with that, well, has done really with that receiving core and maybe can do this year with a few more additions. But to me, I've been asking Josh for the fans out there to help me a hashtag, a nickname, something. I know the secondary has their name and the defense has their name, but I'm going with PBU City when there's a pass breakup, because I don't know about you, but it sure feels like darn near every other pass, there's a hand in there, there's an incompletion, there's a pass breakup that's taking place, and it's not just P-Rob and you know, Marshawn Lattimore and Ken Crowley. It's the other guys that are playing defensive backs as well that maybe don't pop up immediately.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think Von Bell, you know, has had some good moments so far in camp. Marcus Williams, obviously, playing well, and Kirk Coleman. I mean, those are the guys you see, you know, the safeties for the most part with the first team. But, yeah, I mean, I think for the first few days of camp, the first team offense, you know, was really having a lot of success, I thought. I mean, there were definitely a lot of good moments for the second-team defense and third-team defense, you know, guys that, you know, deserve a lot of credit. But then on, Monday, we saw the first-team defense really finally put it together. And I mean, Drew Brees could barely complete a pass yesterday. I mean, obviously it was raining, and that helped defense a little bit. Even before that, I mean, you had the linebackers breaking up passes. You had the secondary breaking up passes. Yeah, I'm sure if they keep doing that, someone will come up with a nickname, even if you can't think of one, Gus.
Speaking with Josh Kazetstein at J Kazetstein is the way to follow over on Twitter, thetimespeakyounola.com. I love it. I love the thing that we saw last year, and it continued, right? If you win the play, spike the ball. But then Curtis Johnson got an infusion of talent in a few more players here as well, with Cameron Meredith, who, you know, you could kind of see that rust. Even Curtis Johnson touched on it on Saturday, starting to come off. But man, Traquan, he's been the guy that somewhat stood out. It's crazy to see what he's doing with that receiving core from Ginn last year and the year that he had. And I think Saints fans knew from his first go as receivers coach, when he was hired last year, I know I was like, dude, what is he going to do with Michael Thomas? He just, he can talk and connect with them. And he's never, ever happy, is he?
Oh, Curtis? No, of course not. I mean, Michael isn't either. I mean, I think those two are really a perfect fit. You know, I actually wrote in the story about a moment where Aaron Glenn got on Arthur Ballett, you know, for a play where he made a pass breakup. I mean, it was he had two reps in a row where he broke up the play, and still Aaron Glenn went over and, you know, had some critiques for him, and Curtis Johnson's the same way with everyone, you know, from Michael Thomas on down. And, yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, he has potentially one of the, if not the best, I'm going to say it. I mean, this could be the best Saints wide receiver core that we've seen ever because, I mean, Michael Thomas obviously on track to be the best Saints receiver ever. I mean, it's him and Marcus Colston pretty much really the only ones in that discussion right now based on what he's done the first couple seasons. Mm-hmm. But then if Cameron Meredith can be, you know, this versatile guy, and he's worked with Curtis Johnson before. They were together for a year in Chicago. So you think that he has a good chance of getting on through to him. And then Traquan Smith, you know, with his size and speed, you know, I mean, obviously you see 4.49 and you think that he should be fast, but, you know, we actually see it in practice that he's faster than even I expected. So I think, you know, with those three guys, plus Ted Ginn, Brandon Coleman, Tommy Lee Lewis, Austin Carr, I mean, we don't know who else is going to emerge. But I certainly think that, you know, from what we're seeing and assuming these wide receivers and defensive backs are helping each other get better, you know, every day in practice, I definitely think Curtis Johnson's group could be one of the best in the league.
Josh, how crazy is it that I don't even think it's just you. I know it's me. I've sat there yesterday in the show and said, we'll get to it as we get closer to Jacksonville. But the running backs, right? Because it was a storyline going into the offseason, really, once we found out that Mark Ingram was going to be suspended in a training camp, who takes his role and all that. And I've been saying, Josh, maybe I'm nuts, but I don't think it is an issue simply because I don't think you're going to replace him. A, there is nobody like Mark Ingram. He does what he does. B, with the weapons they have on offense and the pass-catching ability of Ben Watson, Meredith, Traquan, and Alvin Kamara, I just don't – I have a hard time believing Sean Payton's going to say, yeah, you know, those 15 carries that Ingram have, I'm going to do it and use running backs I don't know or trust or have had in this offense. I think those other running backs are guys that are going to spell Alvin Kamara or maybe keep the defense honest and give them a carry or two. Because to me, I think Breeze is just going to – he's going to have to ice his shoulder, man, because I think he's going to air it out a lot this year.
For sure. I guess the one issue, you know, with that, you know, thought process is that really you think the Saints in the first two games should be winning, you know, by a good margin. So, I mean, that's when you would want to have Mark Ingram is to ice the game in the second half. So
right.
I definitely think they are still going to miss him. But, yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, you think about, you know, really the big benefit last year of having the suddenly balanced offense is that now you have the element of surprise with everything this year. I mean, because teams know that you can run it successfully with Ingram and Kamara. They obviously know you can throw it with Breeze. And yeah, so there's no reason to think that, you know, those touches from Ingram, I mean, could certainly just be, you know, given to Breeze as passes. But like I said, you know, late in the game,
yep.
You know, if you want to give it to Kamara, you can do that, obviously. But at the same time, if someone else emerges, whether it's, you know, Terrence West, or Jonathan Williams, I mean, any of these guys that you just trust with the ball in their hands to, you know, get you 4 yards a carry, can move those chains, that I think that's what you really miss without Ingram.
Six practices left in the walkthrough on Wednesday before you get to Jacksonville. So you have this break today, this day off. I think, Josh, don't you agree, came at the right time. Starting to see those bumps and bruises, walks back to the facility with the trainer. So it's probably good to have the day off today. But from here on out, now they're – the days are getting shorter, getting into a game. What is something you're going to be paying attention to over the next couple of practices, six until the game?
Well, I mean, I think we just have to, you know, pay attention to that defensive end spot. I mean, Marcus Williams, obviously, you know, everyone wants to see what he can do and how quickly he's going to develop. But, I mean, the Saints are also curious how Alex Okafor is going to come along. I mean, obviously, it's a good sign that he was out there for the start of training camp. But, you know, at the same time, you got to figure out if he's as explosive as he was last year when he really had, you know, a career year before suffering that Achilles injury. Is Trey Hendrickson, you know, going to stay healthy and be better than he was last year? And you know, obviously, they know Cameron Jordan's going to, you know, make plenty of an impact, but they need someone on that other side. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, frankly, you know, they haven't seen it yet just because there's been so few practices. So that's what I'm going to be keeping my eye on. And then I think, obviously, the linebacker competition, that's the one spot where it seems every day they've got a new group of guys, and they're just waiting for someone to emerge. I mean, I think, you know, both of those competitions are going to linger throughout camp in the preseason, but certainly it's what I'll be looking at for the next week.
Josh Katzenstein. Follow him over on Twitter at Jay Katzenstein and, of course, NOLA.com and the Times-Picayune, part of the crew that covers your New Orleans Saints. Thanks, Josh, for the time this afternoon, bud.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
Yep, for sure. Quick break. We come back. We'll continue with some of those interviews from Michael Thomas, Cam Jordan on the NFL Network. Plus, we got plenty of sound from Traquan Smith. We'll do that next hour as well. We played it yesterday when he spoke live in the 12 o'clock hour. But in case you missed it, went back and cut it all up for you so we can go over it. And again, as Josh wrote about, those are the two most competitive spots on this team. And you heard him say it again. You see, Jordan, it's not just me that's sipping a little of the Kool-Aid. The observations. That receiving core has the potential to be the best ever easily in the Sean Payton era. And then obviously in Saints history. I mean, you heard him say that. Wasn't me. What are you giggling about? You're not buying? Not buying in?
I'm buying in, but...
What? But what?
El Grotto.
El who?
El Grotto?
No, it's Gatto.
Gatto.
Yeah, not Grotto.
El Gatto.
There's no R in Gatto. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans. Had much to say, but man, I still think them cats are crazy.
They were asking if you were around. I don't know about all that. I know, you know,
oh, come on.
My father has six, so I'm gunning still. If one day he gets a gold jacket, I know I have to aim higher.
Oh, yeah.
You know, sort of difficult for tight ends these days.
Or you can outdo him.
Oh, we're going to do that. This year, Super Bowl.
Oh, Jordan, the intern. Did you hear Cam Jordan say that? What did he say there at the end? Were you paying attention to what he said there at the end? Super Bowl. I mean, that was him. That wasn't me. That's it.
Black and gold. I've been telling you.
Wait a minute. What do you mean you've been telling me? You're not buying in. I'm telling you. I would like a tall glass of Kool-Aid right now. I'm not ready to call. I don't need the pitcher. But I will have a glass.
I
absolutely think
this
is a good team.
I was buying this team last year.
Yeah, they weren't a Super Bowl team, though. I'm talking about, could they be a Super Bowl contending team?
They were most definitely a Super Bowl team
last year.
No, they
were not. Okay, see, this is why you're an intern. All right, so Cam Jordan sat down with the NFL Network as well yesterday. Again, we played Drew Brees. We're going to play Michael Thomas top of next hour. And again, I just wanted to kind of let y'all hear, too, what the national media is sort of feeling, right? And how they're asking the questions and how they answer it back. Because they know. They're live. They're live on national TV. And just kind of make it a little different than how they chat with us and what they say. Here's Cam Jordan.
It's a three-time Pro Bowler. I believe Cam Jordan went inside. Did you dry off?
Yeah. Good thing about this humidity, it doesn't look like it.
No, it doesn't.
Constantly in a shower.
Man, you guys deal with the elements here. I mean, West Virginia was nice for a couple of years, but this is different.
Hey, we home. We home. We ready. This is how we get battle ready.
What'd the rain do? I mean, like, Sean kept you out there in the rain.
It's how we sharpen
you
our
like it?
It's how we sharpen our tools, man. Look, I've got no say in training camp. All I want to do is get better. So whatever it takes.
And defense ruled the day today. You know, what have you seen from your defense, man?
I was expecting more from conditioning, honestly. you know, with the offensive minded coach like Sean, you know, we got after him today pretty well.
We don't like that usually.
Well, hey, not at all. We hit that line. I was like, oh, so it might be a long one today, boys. but we got to work in. And at the end of the day, if we can try and get them better, we know they're already a powerhouse. I mean, we have so many weapons. We're just trying to do our best to make it inconvenient for them.
What have you seen from the first-round pick Marcus Davenport, who should help you? You know, he's going to help you get more sacks. What have you seen from the young fella?
I'm trying not to smile too soon with him, you know. He shows a lot of good flashes. But when you talk about how he's coming along rapidly. His development is going to make him special if he keeps his work ethic the way it is. You know, you can't always forget that you have Alex Okafor out there too. And Trey looks leaner this year. He looks faster this year. That year one, year two jump is going to be special. I think, like I said, I'm trying not to smile too much about my young guys right now.
I got some dogs
right now. Just give me the season. Let them be healthy. Let's start riding on them.
Sean said you guys have to force more turnovers. Cam, how do you do that?
It's got to be, you know, the whole defense on the same mindset of being as tenacious as the first play as is, you know, play 60. We got to be able to emphasize that focus of, you know, not only just going for the ball, but punching the ball, ripping the ball. It's that second effort, you know. Everybody can fight off that first feint. But it's that second and third and fourth guy that's coming through doing the same thing. Really just trying to gang tackle out here.
You know, the front end helps the back end, so you guys put
front
pressure.
Front end takes over, and the back end helps the front end? Uh-huh. No doubt.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, front end, you know, absolutely. If you guys are dominating up there, right?
Yeah.
They don't have to cover long. Fact. With that in mind, what have you seen from your young secondary? You got a bunch of young guys back there, but they can play.
Hungry.
Yeah.
Hungry. You talk about Marshawn Lattimore. If he can build on the year he had last year, it would be just fine. You talk about Ken Crawley, the strides he made. You know, going into his second year last year to now his third year, it's time to settle up. We bring in P-Rob back home, you know, after the work he did out in the slot, you know, playing nickel over at Philly. We'll take that mentality. You talk about, you know, we talk about our secondary. You're not going to get too many smarter than Kurt Coleman. And Marcus is special in his own right. So, again, we just got to keep building. And I try and tell the D-line, look, we're going to dominate up front first. We're not going to rely on anything to cover longer than 3 seconds. We can get there in two. You know, we can make their job so much easier. Finish this on them, some turnovers, and make some bigger plays.
That could be a good thing, too. And maybe lead you guys to the Super Bowl, which is what everyone's talking about. You guys had a great team last year. You were close last year. And I know, Cam, we talked about this because, heck, you were in our building, I think, every week in L.A.
I'm just trying to intern early.
I know. I mean, you were working a lot. Your day count was pretty high. And then you came on the Rich Eisen show. We talked about it as well. Sean Payton sat here a couple of minutes ago, and he said, suggested strongly, rather, that he's not over what happened in Minnesota, and he doesn't want to be because that burns him and it pushes him for this year. Are you over it?
I mean, I told you every time I was on, you know, to reiterate, everything that happened last year, everything good from, you know, defense vaulting the way they did to everything bad to ending our season the way we did, that's in the past now. It was strictly day one. We're going to training camp. We're going to strike our new identity. We've got to figure out what 11 guys are going to be the best on the field. We've got to figure out how we're going to attack our offense, how we're going to attack the next offense. That thing that happened last year was just that. It was something to burn and aid our ambitions for this year. But the moment we took field this year, it's this year. It's 2018. We've got our sights on 2019 Super Bowl.
One of the best father-son duos in recent NFL history, Cam Jordan, now entering his eighth season? Three-time Pro Bowler?
Wow.
29 years old?
I mean, you know.
Established veteran on this team?
I mean, I don't know about all that. I know, you know, my father has six, so I'm gunning still. If one day he gets a gold jacket, I know I have to aim higher.
Yeah.
You know, sort of difficult for tight ends these days.
Or you can outdo him.
Oh, we're going to do that. This year, Super Bowl.
Black and gold of the Super Bowl.
Don't give me that look. How do you not get excited listening to Cam Jordan just now?
I'm excited.
This is why I'm playing these interviews. You heard Drew Brees with LaDainian Tomlinson. He's confident. Cam Jordan, same thing. They know there's work to be done.
Well, I hope so.
And they know that this is not going to be easy. But I'm telling you, I've been 99s. I started in this, right? So I'm just having trouble even remembering a team that felt, you know what? If things go our way, meaning the injury bug stays away. If things go our way, meaning if we can just execute and play to the best of our ability, they have a shot at the very least to walk off the bus and step onto the field with any team I think can compete. That's all you want. Right? Go ahead. Pot it up, Joey. That's right.
Nine great flavors to drink you love.
Where is he? He's coming at some point here. Where am I? About to make my entrance. Come on.
Kool-Aid.
I mean, it's coming. Kool-Aid. I'm going with Black Cherry. I'm Black Cherry Kool-Aid. Anybody else want to join? How about a glass? Just a glass. Just a glass of Kool-Aid. We're not talking chug or... I mean, how are you not getting excited? Look, here's the thing. I will take any day a player talking about, no, our sights and... Because you don't set your sights on the Super Bowl or make it a goal unless you really think you're going. I know most teams, like, you get what I'm getting at, Jordan? I get it. It's nice to have fall ball starting for a lot of schools this year or this week in college. You're going, national championship, conference championship. over two-thirds, not no shot. Right? I mean, it's fine and dandy to have a couple of teams, the NFL, go, hey, here we go. Here we go. That's fine. And that's fine. They don't have a shot. I will just take any day having somebody on a team say, hey, our sights are set here. What are you grinning about now? What?
CJ on Twitter's got it spot on.
What?
Please don't jinx us again, Gus.
I didn't. How am I jinxing anybody? I'm not jinxing anybody. I'm just telling you, for the first time since I've covered this team, I have to temper my expectations. I have to temper my enthusiasm. Because I know they haven't played a game.
Looks nice on paper.
It's looking nice on the field right now. And again, that's why I wanted to play those interviews. I wanted to kind of get an idea of for y'all to hear how they're talking nationally. What are the questions that are being asked, right? And again, LT, that was his first practice today or yesterday. And what did he see? Four interceptions, the linebacking core of Anzalone, DeMario Davis, Craig Robertson. Affectionately, my nickname from the cockroach. He won't go anywhere, man. Always alive, right? They keep bringing in linebackers. I mean that like in a very complimentary way. I really do.
Call the man a cockroach.
Well, but again, though, it's the one animal that, right? I mean, scientists say in nuclear war,
it's one of the most hated animals also.
I get that. Well, I mean, if it's an offense, that's fine. He's a pest. He's a pest to opposing offenses. I'm telling you, you can really go with this. I don't know if I'm ready to tell him that that's kind of my nickname for him, but.
You kind of look like a roach.
What are you talking about? I look like a roach.
Yeah.
Based on what?
I don't know. Just kind of look like one.
Probably not a good thing to tell your host here right before the break.
You're going to beat me up again?
I will beat you.
I shouldn't even say again. You didn't even beat me up last time.
Yeah, well. Michael Thomas, his interview with the NFL Network crew. And then we'll get into what I think will be fun as well. Traquan Smith, some of the things he said yesterday as well. Nicknames, Jordan the intern has posted that as well. Phone calls, 800-998-1003 at ESPN Radio NOLA. It's a day off for the team, so let's kind of regroup, kind of talk about some of the things that happened. If you've gone to any of the open practices, I want to hear from you. I want to hear what you saw as well. So we'll get into all of that, plus Jordan the intern's going to give us an NFC South kind of roundup of some teams and what's going on elsewhere. Well, some fun. So, two more hours to go. It's the Sports Hangover. Hour one was brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King, 504-909-KING and kinginjuryfirm.com online. It's the Sports Hangover. Hour two next on ESPN New Orleans.